it's producer Casey, just dropping in with a couple quick notes before we start. First of all, if you're anything like us, we realize the Untitled Beatles podcast might not be the only Beatles podcast you listen to. It's fine. It's fine. Podcast monogamy is for squares. However, this week did bring the untimely announcement that two of the best shows in the business, I Am the Egg Pod and Nothing Is Real, are unfortunately closing up shop. To lose either of those outstanding podcasts, let alone both of them, in the same week, is a blow to the Beatle fan community. But rather than mourn today, I think the guys and I just want to take a second to celebrate their contributions to the Beatle podcast universe. They are both excellent shows, and it is absolutely worth checking out their back catalogs. Again, I Am the Egg Pod, Nothing Is Real. Both signing off after, what, 4 or 5 years of episodes. So Chris and Steven and Jason, I don't know you. I don't know if you're listening. But if you are, congratulations on an epic run. Give us a call if you ever want to drop by the Untitled Beatles neighborhood. We'll all be raising a glass to you over here stateside. And second, knowing just how hard it is to sustain an independent podcast week to week, we also want to take a quick minute to thank you all for listening. We do it for the fun, but it's even more fun knowing that people out there care. So if you like what we do, now's a great time. Leave a quick review on maybe Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, or maybe tell a couple of your friends about the show. And if you're really feeling it, we've got merch for sale, and you can also support us via PayPal or Patreon. Patreon members get exclusive access to our Untitled Beatles Discord, where we all chat and gab fab and solicit episode ideas and all those things. You can find all this stuff on our website, untitledbeatlespodcast.com. And speaking of Patreon, holy moly, are we particularly grateful to have the best bunch of Patreon supporters anybody could ask for. And it is high time that we shout out our Star Club members. P3Z Nuts, can I get a hand over here?
Do I really have a say in the matter?
Enormous thanks to Long Live George Harrison,
Glenn K. from Iowa,
Matt Kuharski,
Beetle Dave,
Susan from Baltimore,
Bert Chide,
Joanne S.,
David S. from Chicago,
Max Como in Montreal,
Matt Meyer from Spring Hill, Tennessee,
Nick B. from Minnesota,
Nowhere Doug Tabor,
Stephen A.,
Mary Kate,
Skyler,
Mr. D. Sticker,
Michael S.,
Cat V. from Minneapolis,
Anthony P. in Portland,
Terrence D.,
Dave B.,
Mark Warino in Chicago,
Steve L. from a little town in Indiana,
Robbie 2, Electric Boogaloo,
Russell B.,
Terry B. from Appleton,
Mike from St. Louis,
Barry Wombat from the Dingle,
Adam A. from Australia,
and our latest additions to the Distinguished Star Club crew, Stephanie B.
and James W. Again, thank you so much for everything you do to support the show. Okay, that's enough preamble and very sincere talking. Let's get back to the shenanigans you probably tuned in for. Take it, Tony and TJ.
This is Now and Then Revisited. Wow, 6 months old. TJ, 3, 2, 1.
Untitled Beatles Podcast.
How are you, my friend? How are you, TJ? Welcome to the Untitled Beatles Podcast, TJ.
Hey, how are you, Tony? How are you, my friend? And welcome to the podcast you co-host, Tony.
Oh, here we are. That's right. You know, it's been a while. We're two busy bros here in the year 2024.
You know what they say, two busy bros before two busy hoes. Fridays on CBS. Remember that? What happened to Two Broke Hoes? How come you can't show that one on Channel 9 no more? And why don't Arnie Harris show more boobs?
Well, some of the lovely sights you see in Wrigley Field. Arnie, you trying to get me barred? That began to look like a striptease for a while.
These are the questions that we ask. You know, we're just asking. We're just doing our own research. We are kind of doing our own research today, TJ.
We are.
As we revisit Now and then, it's about 6 months old. This is a good idea you had, I thought.
Well, thank you, Tony. I mean, part of it is the song is called Now and Then. So, you know, it, we can mm-hmm. certainly, it's old enough to revisit right now. If this were the 70s, this song would already be issued on Capitol's Starline label. With the blue.
The green one.
Oh,
or is it blue or is it green?
It
I forget.
It started green, and then the Starline label in 81 became the blue one with the black okay. sleeve with all the blue stars.
Okay, so you're right. So it would be blue. Right. Unless this is a retro, you know, unless they go then, you know.
That's right. Exactly. And how come the B-side is Glenn Campbell's Rhinestone Cowboy? Also a Green Capital Starline released. it's actually true. So, yeah, Tony, part of what inspired me to do this, one, I've been fascinated by the song who leaked it? What magician? A pen? Or Teller, who leaked this? I'm stopping the show for a moment.
No, it was Doug. It was Doug Henning. welcome to the world of magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of magic. For magic is illusion. An illusion can be magical. Is what you see before you an actual reality or simply an illusion? For if it's an illusion, it must be magic.
I saw him in a musical in New York. First musical I saw called Merlin, and it was a Doug Henning musical, and you can find footage of it. There's no cast recording.
Doug Henning musical?
It was called Merlin. It's about magic. I've had the song stuck in my head since 82. Yeah, man. It was the first musical I saw on Broadway, and Doug Henning pops out and goes, "Don't you love a surprise?
It's about magic. It's about wonder. It's about takes your breath away, can't believe your eyes. Don't you love a surprise?"
So, yes, I remember this clearly. Doug Henning leaked the song. No, it was Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Teller's the one that got eaten by the horse. we've all been eaten by a horse. So, yes, I've been fascinated ever since Penn broke this on his podcast. And one of the reasons it stayed relevant to me is I've been listening to the red and blue vinyl reissues with headphones. Mm. The ones with the remixes. The red album remix is astonishing. It almost feels like you're listening to something different than the red album. Like we talked about back when Now and Then and Red and Blue remix were released. On the vinyl, there's a third album that, like a bonus album, that puts all the new tracks on it. And on the yes. blue album, the third vinyl begins with Now and Then. And on the download / CD, for those of you who still love CDs, Now and Then concludes the record because the songs they added in 2023 are interspersed on CD and digital download.
Right.
So it's,
that's right.
In listening to the two and comparing where they function and how they work, Now and Then, Tony, it's never been clearer to me, belongs on a third disc. I am frustrated, just as I expected I would be, that the good folks at Apple tack Now and Then on to digital and CD versions of 67 to 70. It doesn't feel right. It actually feels icky.
Yeah.
I said it. It feels icky.
Yeah. You know what, man? I am not going to push back on that. I am not going to push back on that whatsoever. Yeah. Yeah. It's been 6 months since the song came out. Has your opinion changed on it other than what you just said? What do you think of the song itself?
Thank you for following up with that question, because I do love the song. I think the song is beautiful. I built it up so much when it came out that my son will say, God is my witness. Last week, we're listening to the Beatles channel on Sirius XM. And out of nowhere, he says, how come they don't play Now and Then anymore? Because they were playing it so much when it came out. Right. And I kind of made it very clear that this is the first new Beatles song. So looking at it through his eyes has been illuminating as well. I think it's gorgeous. I think it's arranged beautifully. I think Giles Martin and Paul did a great job. It's sympathetic. Even like the pulling from other harmonies, Because and Here, There, and Everywhere and stuff, never bothered me. It's a Beatles song. Why not borrow from the Beatles when two of them aren't alive to make the harmonies anymore? And if you've
sampling,
heard,
right?
Sampling, right? And if you've heard Choose Love, you don't want Ringo doing any more harmonies than he has to.
Love.
I still really love the song. It's not an indictment of the song. Where I wanted to open this up to you, Tony, is the way they treated it with such importance that it belonged on the definitive collection of their later era songs. I read, I think the review in Salon said it's not a gorgeous Beatles song. It's like a gorgeous Beatles tribute song. It's not an insult. And it kind of, that feels right.
Yeah, that feels very right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah. For me, I like the song itself, the melody, etc. I did find myself humming it. Like on days like today, I'm doing laundry today, right? I delayed our podcast recording session today in order to flip the laundry, as I say.
I'm sorry, Tony. Were you doing clean laundry or were you doing...
I won't say it because I don't want to hear that fucking song on this.
Tony.
Get the Glenn Frey out of here. This podcast's mouth.
I just heard the buzzer. Don Henley.
Oh, whatever. Fuck both of those guys.
You kicked them when they're up and you kicked them when they're down.
I still stand by what my Uncle Paul said when he first heard that song when it was a current. This song is a piece of shit.
One of the misguided hits of 82 is what that was. Yep.
So in regards to Now and Then, yeah, I still like the song. I found myself humming it, you know, just on my own. I still think, here's where we might disagree a little bit. I still think, I don't care for the production as much. I think it's a little squashed. Like, it's so loud. It is loudness wars still. Mm-hmm. If you put it into a music software, you'll see it looks like a big fat brick. It looks like a...
Fuck you, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Hi, we see you.
We see you.
Anyway, yeah, I think the production, it's too compressed. I will say, like, I too have not listened to this song as much. Hmm. I also think that's also a natural part of it. When a new song comes out, you play the shit out of it, and then it takes a rest. I think we might be 6 months later into a resting period with this song. And maybe we'll see. Does it creep back into your playlists as much? Or does it become, for me, probably what has happened to Free as a Bird, Real Love, even things like McCartney 3. Remember, we were like hot on that record.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't listened to that record in probably a year, man. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. I'm saying it like that's real. Like, I think this happens to a lot of music and a lot of musicians as things happen and as time goes on and as they age, like nothing can compare to where we were when we were 14 or younger, in your case, six, right? When you first heard the Beatles.
Four years old. Them. Yeah.
4 years old. Yeah. Right. And for me, you know, when I finally like, oh, I'm going to actually sit down and listen to these guys. It's those early young years where things are new and exciting and it's the first time all over again. It's hard to do that with a song like Now and Then. Or even stuff like new stuff from McCartney 3. It's never going to compare to whatever, Helter Skelter, You Won't See Me, Rubber Soul, etc., you know?
Okay, but that brings up such a great question, because is it a matter of experience and time in your life, or is it a matter of quality? Because the one thing, and we'll talk about this more in the next episode, because I'm going to talk a little bit about meeting Paul McCartney and getting to talk to him for a couple minutes. Cool. And one of my weird, not regrets, because I wouldn't have really said this to him in a quick encounter, but if I had time to sit and talk to Paul McCartney, I would have said to him, you know, Paul, Press to Play came out when I was 12 and my parents were getting divorced and my dad's store went bankrupt. And I listened to that cassette on my yellow Sony Walkman 100 times that fall. And to me, Press to Play is what Revolver was to somebody else in 66, or what the White Album was in 6. So maybe Now and Then is somebody's, you know, if not Free as a Bird, maybe it's their Tax Man or And Your Bird Can, you know. So the beauty of what the Beatles are able to do, both as soloists and certainly as a group, is create music that is, and I don't know if there's any other band whose entire catalog fits this, Tony, that is in equal measure totally tied to its time and wildly free of its time. Like, you remember, it represents the era unquestionably, but it never, I think what I've always said, all the Beatle bias aside, whether it's oldies 104.3 back in the day or whatever, the Beatles never sounded like oldies. Even like when Twist and Shout comes on, it sounds different than like Sherry Baby by the Four Seasons. Great tune, but one sounds like an oldie. One sounds like it could have been recorded, especially with the remix weeks ago. Difference of the Beatles and where George Martin was such a visionary because of how great those songs sound. And Tony, guess what George Martin wasn't responsible for? Free as a Bird, Real Love, and Now and Then. And that is one of the biggest things, not just that all three songs were cobbled. And look, Free as a Bird still makes me cry because I was in college. That was my first new Beatles song. I took it way too seriously. I got made fun of by fraternity brothers who in, you know, 95 were all listening to, you know, like probably shitty music. God, what's up with TJ and the Beatles? I like the Goo Goo Dolls. It was probably shit at the time.
Yeah.
It's lonely where you are. Come back down. Tell me your name.
But it's true, like, it moved me so much. So I'll always hold that up better. I also think I like Jeff Lynne's production of the whole thing better, but none of the three songs have George Martin really in them, and that's, I think, what separates all three from the body of the Beatles' work.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, just to play devil's advocate, then, how do you apply that to, say, Let It Be, you know, the Phil Spector? Is Real Love the same as I Mean Mine?
Yes, although if Phil Spector had Real Love, he would have made it 45 seconds longer. Phil Spector did to I Mean Mine what Dave Dexter did to I'll Cry Instead. Make it longer. Edit it. I don't care how. No, that's a good question, but some of that, you know, look, Let It Be was a new phase Beatles album, so dot, dot, dot. So I give that a little bit of credit, but it's different because...
And it was also in the time. It was at that time when they were that age, too. So that plays into maybe more what I was saying, too, about when you age, things change. There's no way you can just do the same thing you did when you were 26 or whatever, when you're 80.
Well, okay. You know? Willie Nelson has taught us that that's not true. You know, there are people who can do the same thing.
Yes and no. I mean, but his music has also changed to a slightly degree, maybe less so than McCartney, but
well, I'm just talking ripping bonkets, my guy.
Oh.
I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Now, TJ, you said you had a yellow Walkman. Is that right?
I had a yellow Sony Sportsman. For sports.
That sounds like one of those waterproof ones, huh? That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was waterproof.
Rich kid.
You're a rich kid with a Walkman that and it locks with a gray case. But see, here's the thing. When my parents lost money, they decided to keep buying things on credit cards.
Oh, well, that was the American way. The Charge American dream, DJ. It. You were living it. Charge it. Flintstones. TJ, I just have to ask, you know, when in seventh grade you had to do mandatory showers in gym class, the most terrifying, humiliating thing to go through at that age, Were you listening to the Beatles in your Walkman going through the shower there because it was a waterproof?
Well, I went to private school, so we all had a private shower with a masseuse who was also the volleyball coach. I will tell you that when I went to camp every single year, I thought it'd be cool to have a tape case no one else had. So I went to the Ace Hardware, Melnick Ace Hardware, used to be in the Gold Coast. I think that's what it was called. And I got a toolbox.
Oh, wow.
It had the black upper lid for like the plastic lid to put supplies in. And then the big box. Sure. And I loaded it with Beatles and solo Beatles cassettes in the mid 80s. And I would bring this red tape toolbox to camp with all the tapes. And Press to Play was one of them that year. And that's, oh my awesome, God, man. The other one, the Kasingle of My Brave Face, the summer 89, it made up for the acne crying. I could not show really my brave face.
Yeah, I was gonna say you really did have a brave face. Let's see what our listeners had to say.
Yeah, thank you for throwing this out to the Discord friends. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, if you join our Patreon, you get to become a part of our Discord where we discuss things, la, la, la. It's kind of like a chat room. It's fun. We keep it light. We keep it friendly.
A lot of discussion. A lot of Q theories.
A lot of Beatle conspiracies. Yeah, we're actually next weekend, we're all getting together to go hang gliding to prove that we're not witches, Beatle witches.
Cue the Flaming Pie era B-side hang glide.
I love it that there's always some kind of Beatle B-side that you can connect it to with red yarn, like as we do. I tell you what, our listeners had thoughts about how Now and Then has since aged in its 6 months. And we'll start from positive, and they get more critical as we go on here. Ending with my good friend Reed. Long live George Harrison out there in Australia. She says, every time I hear it, it brings a tear to my eye. I'm taking that as a positive thing, not that she's crying because she hates the song.
I would think so. Yeah. I would hope so. I wonder what Long Live thinks about the McCartney guitar solo to sound like George, slide guitar. I wonder what Long Live feels about Paul's tribute to George.
Follow-up question.
You know, I had a chance to ask that follow-up question, and Long Live says, It wasn't over the top. I wish it was George doing it, though. I didn't know that Paul could play slide guitar that well. And I got to say, I kind of agree. Paul did a fine job, but we couldn't find anybody more George adjacent or fly in some unreleased George solo from the archives. Anyway, back to the guys.
Beatle Dave, the song has grown on me. While the video is a marvel, it's also a bit creepy, especially John, quote, conducting the orchestra. Yeah, so how's the video? Let's talk about the video for a minute. Thank you, Beatle Dave.
Well, did you see the director's cut where they have John conducting the orchestra and then he whispers to the woman who died a few months later, you're not going to make it, love?
Well, it was a different time because John's still 1967.
That's terrible. All apologies to the family of that lovely young woman.
Yeah, Caroline Buckman, she was in our Beatle bracket. She made it into the Beatle bracket this year, March Madness. So I still have only seen this video like either once, maybe twice for research. I don't think I ever need to see it again. I am not a fan of the video. I will say that. I am not a fan of the video. I don't mind seeing Ringo and Paul currently in the studio during overdubs. And I wouldn't mind historic footage. I'm not a big fan of the green screen stuff. To me, it actually looked kind of amateurish. You know, there's creepies involved. I don't like the weird AI stuff, or as it says here, Weird Al stuff. I don't like that they made the lyrics all about food.
Here's, the thing I hate the most is the Beatles never saying another one drives the bus.
Yeah, why did they rename the song Now and Ham?
Oh, dude, we gotta do a Weird Al Beatles album.
Wow, isn't this fun?
No.
All right, time for you to entertain me. I want you to sing some bebop music.
Boy, no, no, no.
Oh, come on, we want bebop music. Give us some bebop music.
Bebop, bebop, real.
Oh, that was just great, thanks.
That's going to have to be a fantasy Weird Al Beatles album. All right, put it on the list. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I love the video, Tony. I loved it.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. It's the same thing I said maybe 6 months ago. It's the John Wayne Coors ad. I don't like where they take people who have left this earth and make them do things that they didn't have a say in doing. You know what I mean? Like, did John Lennon want to be in that video? Like, doing his kooky stuff? Like, we don't know. He's dead. Like, but let's put him in the video and let's make him out of context. And it looks like he's doing something he didn't agree to do. I don't know.
Okay.
The heart's in the right place. I don't know. Just show me some footage from fucking 1973 or whatever, or 77, whatever, whenever the song was written.
Tony wants John and Chuck Berry rolling their eyes as Yoko screams in now and then.
Well, that happened. That actually happened. John, like, making faces at an orchestra didn't happen, but yeah.
Oh, God, we're recording this on Easter Sunday, and this morning, Terry Hemmard played the live cold turkey.
Wow.
I was like, wow, of all days.
Real quick, just getting back to what I had to say about the video. To me, it's like, it's the same thing, you know, like when you see like Edward Hopper's Nighthawks, but it's like, oh, but instead it's James Dean and Elvis and the guys from Menudo and, you know,
<It's my favorite.
laughs> Marilyn Monroe, like, you know, Norm from Cheers is there. And then the dog from Down and Out Beverly Hills, but it's Edward Hopper. It's Nighthawks. I'm getting that vibe off of this Now and Then video. That's what, I'll leave it at that. And you know what, man? Fair. This is what it is. This is what it is. I was recently listening to a podcast, and oh my God, they mentioned the existence of Gen X in this podcast. And they were criticizing Gen X for, quote, like, their obsession with authenticity. And I was like, how is that a bad thing? How is that a bug and not a feature? You mean like we like things that are real and like happened and are the truth? Like, how is being obsessed with authenticity like a bad thing? I don't know.
I love that that's probably coming from someone who's buying $18 cassettes because that's cool now. Shut up. Leave us alone. Let us hide in peace. We're not the ones fucking the country up. We're the ones complaining about it on podcasts.
Yeah, we complain about it. Yeah. I mean, we've been waiting for boomers to let go, you know, since before y'all were born. Mm-hmm. We're just not bellyaching about it publicly.
Yet.
Until right now. Yeah, and here we are right now doing it. But
people try to put us down just because we get around.
All right. Thank you, Beetle Dave. Nowhere Doug said he just gave it a re-listen. Don't think my opinion has changed much. It's an incredible song. I love the production, and I'm glad they revisited it. That being said, there's also something a little bit strange about the three songs they've done since John died. I've heard them, I like them, but I also would have been okay if they had just left the legacy alone. Well put. Might be getting to what you were saying a little bit earlier about, like, how is Now and Then on the new Blue album or whatever. Does it deserve to be on the new Blue album? Free as a Bird and
Real Love.
Real Love aren't on it. Now and Then, like, went immediately into legacy status.
Well, it does reek of marketing in a way that I know Free as a Bird and Real Love did as well. I mean, we talk about this a lot. ABC's countdown on Anthology 1 of, you know, new Beatles song in 30 seconds. And there was like a clock on the bottom third of the screen.
The wait is almost over. In 16 minutes, it's the television event of our lifetime. The incredible music you've always loved, plus two new Beatles songs. The Beatles Anthology, next only on A Beatles C.
It was such a big marketing thing. And look, if you look at certainly what Capitol Records did here in the States, the Beatles have always been marketing driven. I don't begrudge marketing, but the fabrication of it makes this feel less authentic. Like, it was billed as literally the last Beatles song was the marketing campaign around this. That's why it's on the Blue Album, not because it matches the standards of Hey Jude or Revolution or Strawberry Fields or Penny Lane. And that's what kills me hearing it in that context. Putting on that third vinyl album, great, what a wonderful bonus track. And now you get Dear Prudence, you know, and then it's the other songs that were added, but it just it feels inauthentic. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think that sums it up eloquently, TJ. The fabrication.
Oh, that should be the marketing campaign for one of the Beatles cover bands. El Grupo Rain.
El Grupo Rain.
El Grupo Rain.
And lastly, my friend Reed Coker, he's in a band called the Air Blue Gowns. He plays with Jimmy Webb's son plays in this band. Glenn Campbell's son plays in this band. My friend Jim Becker's in this band from Iron and Wine, many other projects. A few weeks ago, he texted me, by the way, everything about Now and Then fucking sucks. He's a fan of the Beatles. Let me put this out there. So TJ, get ready. Get ready. This is what Reed had to say. I asked him to elaborate on that earlier today.
Because it needs more vitriol.
Oh yeah, get ready for some vitriol. This is said, I think, as a concerned fan. Let's say this about that. And his band is called Air Blue Gowns. Find them on Spotify.
Pearl tops for guitar. Go on, get yourself.
Oasis would have rendered a more exciting recording. Everything is dull, unimaginative drumming from Ringo. Paul sings with 15% of his former vocal strength. The strings are one-dimensional. There's no fucking middle eight, is there? The melody is a bore, the bass sounds underwater, it's sentimental, dull, 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 dull. The title Now and Then? It's like the title from a 40-year-old financial analyst's poetry workshop submission for the week. George said it wasn't worth recording back in the 90s. He was right, it's a turd. The Beatles were dead a long time ago. Yeah, he gets
that's
he gets
what
dark.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Okay. He also said, Air Blue Gowns, Southern California flagpole, everywhere there's digital, vinyl coming soon.
Great. Thanks for your plug. Check out my Pitchfork review.
Right.
1.1 out of 10.
So it wasn't his favorite Beatles song. And this is a guy who quite likes the Beatles. Yeah. I don't know. he had more to say, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay, because I'm guessing you probably are more on that side than my side if you had to pick where you sit in terms of appreciation for the song. Is that fair?
Well, I wouldn't say I don't like the song. I do like the song. It's the production and the video that I'm not a big fan of. And also, I agree with you on, like, I don't think it's part of the canon of Red and Blue Album. I don't think it's that caliber of a song. I think it's as weird as Free as a Bird and Real Love. I'm glad they exist. I don't think we need them. And they kind of sully up the story a little bit for me. Like, to me, the Beatles, they existed between this time, you know, and they broke up. And that was a decision they all made, you know. And I know it's a different time now because, Pavement broke up or whatever. Name your favorite band from that broke up. Right. But they're still playing. Yeah. When they need the money, they're still playing. Or when they want to, they're still playing. So, like, even the concept of a band breaking up has become fluid. It's almost like the way an encore has become just accepted, like, oh, we're going to do this thing where we leave, but, you know, we're coming back.
That's,
you know,
the best postmodern Ringo joke, when he goes, right about now, I'd leave the stage, but I'm old and tired, so I won't. And then they do with a little help from my friends. I love it. Ringo just... Okay, then let me... That was a leading question, because here's what I want to get to. Now that we've had enough time to digest Now and Then, irrespective of its place on the official document of the quote-unquote greatest Beatles songs, the Blue Album, obviously partnering with the Red Album, can you rank Free as a Bird, Real Love, and Now and Then? Because with time and hindsight, and also my experience being weepy the Sunday before Thanksgiving break in 1995 in my dorm room in Emerson College, crying when I heard Free as a Bird for the first time. I didn't react the same, quite the same to Real Love, but Free as a Bird got me. That will always be my first new Beatles song. I rank the three in order. I go Free as a Bird. I go Real Love, which sounds like a more 70s John Lennon song. And then I go Now and Then. And part of it, the middle eight, the I Don't Want to Lose You part that was cut out. And I understand why, but that gave the song the Lennon bluesy kind of Lennon acid that this song's missing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. When we, you know, we just did a rerun on our, when we ranked all the Beatles songs, did we include the two Threedle songs that were around at that time?
We did not. We did not. So, I think we restricted it to.
So that's telling.
Yes.
Right? I think that's telling.
NME didn't. We based it, Tony, on NME, which didn't do it. And you and I didn't disagree with that, because they're not real Beatles songs. They are,
but
they're not.
I know, exactly right. Yeah, so this is the other thing I'm wrestling with. Like, since the freshness and the newness of the song has worn off, it has become to me like a Threedle song. And while they're technically Beatles songs because the surviving Beatles said so, for me, they're not true Beatles songs because of the simple fact that the four Beatles stopped making music together, all four of them, in 69, right? Even I Me Mine, the first Threedle song.
The first Threedle song, yeah.
was in 1970. I think the four of them were just in the 60s, those four dudes.
And yet, if you, this is tricky. I still put Dave Clark 5 ahead of them in terms of 60s legacy acts.
You know, you do you, Teach.
And, every Dave Clark 5 song has this mix too high. And all over, yes, and you're being yelled at, and like there's clapping and stomping.
But you know what? If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have We Will Rock You and Jock Jams.
Oh, don't
Dave Clark 5 invented Jock Jams.
Give me a chance to be near you.
Yeah, this gets back into what I was saying earlier about how time changes music. Like, to me, the Beatles, the music that excites me the most about them was created between 62 and 69/70. And that's how that music sounds. That's how that music lives. You can try your best to recreate it. But even when you do, like, throwback sounds, and we're going to use the same gear, we're going to use the same machines, like, even then, it's still going to sound different.
Yeah.
And I think time changes music, and music changes time, you know, especially if you're in King Crimson.
Time is time, and time is yours. Is
or yes, whatever.
That song. DJ's going to go take a dump. Here's this one. Seen all good people.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I'm at peace with this song. I'll listen to it again. I probably won't play it as much as I do the other Beatles songs. I don't hate it. If it comes on, I'll hum it. I think it's, I like the tune. I like the tune itself. Yeah.
Yes. And I agree with you. I love the song more for what it represents than for what it actually is. And I can't say that about any other Beatles song. And that's the difference. It is a lovely confectionery. The fact that Paul and Ringo are involved, it's not an AI generated, they're all gone thing. It is George Martin's son. Jeff Lynne gets production credit by virtue of him starting those sessions back in the 90s. But yeah, my sticking point, I believe I would think more of this song if when it was issued, it was a remixed bonus EP with Free as a Bird and Real Love on one side and Now and Then on the other side. As much as I love the Love Me Do symmetry to issuing the first single and the last single as a double A side, I think I would have been happier with the Beatles and Apple as an organization if they had treated Now and Then more appropriately than making it part of the Blue Album. As someone who grew up with that record and it was so influential to us 70s and 80s Beatles fans, I'm vaguely offended by its place on there, and that's why my therapist has a boat.
Grievances ahoy here. It's the Untitled Beatles Podcast. For our producer, Casey, thank you so much. I think the solution, TJ, is Red Album, keep it the way it was. Blue Album, knock off Now and Then, put it on an EP with the other two Threedle songs and make it the Green EP.
Yeah, and take some greenies while you're doing the Green EP. Oh, God, for my birthday, I just picked up the Green 45 of Nowhere Man. What goes on from the 90s I'd never had? I got a greenie.
DJ Shadow must collect all the records.
Untitled Beatles Podcast. Like and subscribe,